Several years ago, Audrey and I had the opportunity to fly to Washington, D.C., and to spend about a week there, actually. And we covered just about all of the territory, I suppose, that you would find in Washington. We got to go to the Capitol, and we were on tour there with Pete Sessions, who is still a congressman, by the way, but he was our congressman at that particular time, and Ralph Hall out of Rockwall. But anyway, it was a very interesting trip. And one of the things that most amazed us was what we commonly refer to as the eternal flame. And that was at the graveside, if you will, of President John F. Kennedy. And I thought a lot about that as I stood before this monument. And it is referred to as the eternal flame. But you know, there is that possibility that that flame could go out. Now, I know in reality they're talking about the flame of his life, but that flame represented his life. But there is that potential and that possibility that that burning flame could go out. But when we talk about the eternal flame of God, Almighty God, we know that it is a consuming fire according to the Word of God. God's flame will never go out. His flame will always burn forever and ever. And it should burn forever and ever in the hearts of all of us who are His children. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the Bible says that the light overcame and overshadowed the darkness. You know, God knew that we needed light and that man could not live without it. We were singing that song a moment ago about the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that song actually drew its inspiration, I suppose, from the words found in Psalms 119, verse 105, where David said, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." And you know, God does have a lamp. His lamp is referred to as a fire, and we know that back when David wrote these words, the lamp was not like an electrical lamp like we use today or a kerosene lamp, but in reality, it was a fire, and it was the eternal fire of an almighty God, and it was called the Bible. Now, that fire was symbolic and analogous, if you will, of what we call the Holy Scriptures today. And we know that the Word of God, if it is a fire, and the Bible says that it is, it burns within us. And we know that that Word is eternal. For Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away. And that the grass will wither over a period of time, and the flower will eventually fade, but the Word of God will abide forever. And it does. Isn't it amazing that men have tried to destroy this eternal flame of God? They have tried to eradicate it, to put it out, to put it to silence, but yet it still burns. You will remember in the Old Testament when Moses was called of God, he had been tending sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro, and the Bible tells us that while he's out in that particular area, that God, he is drawn near to a fire, actually, that was burning, and it was burning in a bush that was not consumed by the fire. It was the most unusual thing that perhaps he had laid eyes upon. But as he drew nearer, he heard the voice of God say, "Moses, Moses, pull off your shoes, for the ground upon which you stand is holy ground." And God spake to him from that burning bush that did not burn up. The Bible in the book of Hebrews 12 and verse 29 again says that for God is a consuming fire himself. Now I want you to listen to these words once again. In Psalms 119 verse 105, "Your word," or thy word, "is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my pathway." In other words, it gives immediate light to where we are, wherever we find ourselves, whatever our situation is now. But then he says that it is a light unto my pathway. We don't know exactly where our path will lead in life. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen in coming days that may lie before us. But we know that we will have the light of God to lead the way. And that's why we sing songs like, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." We sing, "Send the light, send the light." Now I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about this eternal flame of God, or about the lamp of God. You could call it either way. But I would tell you foremost that it is a reading lamp. You know, it would be very difficult for you to read in here without these lamps on tonight, wouldn't it? It would be. It'd be very difficult for me to read without this reading lamp up here. Now, I have my sermon down, but there are times when I have to kind of go back and look and refresh myself and make sure I'm on the same wavelength. But anyway, we all need reading lamps. There are times maybe you may crawl up in your bed at night and you have a little reading lamp that you turn on where you may read the Bible or the power for the day before you close your eyes in sweet slumber. But that reading lamp does a number of things. It reveals God's thoughts to you and to me. Some people say, "Well, I'd just like to know the mind of God." You know how you get to know the mind of God? Is you open the Word of Jehovah and read about the mind of an eternal God. Now, God reveals Himself in a number of ways. In the book of Psalms 19 and verse 1, the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. God revealed Himself in the heavens. Think about that. The moon, the stars, the galaxies. I mean, they are so far beyond the eye or telescopes, way beyond infinity. And it's hard for us to really comprehend it. But we know that God is there. He is in the heavens. And the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth forth His handiwork. So when we look at the earth around us, then we see the mighty creativity of an almighty God who is in heaven itself. The Bible itself is a reading lamp. And isn't that interesting? The Bible actually says that. We're going to look at that in a moment. But it reveals a number of things. Isn't it interesting when you read the Bible that you come to a greater awareness of a lot of things concerning God? We read about God and we read about many things in the Bible, but when God reveals Himself through the Word of God, through this reading lamp, then I can tell you He reveals a number of things. He reveals the love of God. The Bible tells us about His love. For God is love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, according to the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We would know that lest we read it in the Bible. But God's eternal flame tells us of God's grace and the unmerited favor of our Father who is in heaven. Not something we earn, not something we achieve, but something that God gives unto us. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and following. But it tells us of God's Son. You know, we wouldn't know anything about Jesus lest we read the Word of God, or had we lived in that particular time and day and age when Christ was raised before the very eyes of those perhaps who had crucified Him and had heralded assaults against Him. But the Bible tells us of God's eternal heaven. You go to the book of Revelation, especially chapter 21, when John describes that wonderful and celestial city as a place where there is no more pain, no sorrow, no anguish, no death. And all those things are put to death themselves. And you and I will be able to live in that city that lieth foursquare forevermore. And we will hear our Master say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the very foundation of the world." But the Bible tells us also, on the other hand, of the abiding place of the wicked, and it's referred to in the Holy Scriptures as the devil's hell. For Jesus would say that the wicked will enter into this place that is called hell or torment. Now, We wouldn't know that lest God's Word revealed it for us. We could surmise all day long. But we have factual information in the Word of God. When I think about this light of God, I'm reminded of Paul's address by epistle to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. Paul writes these words, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Get that picture. Why, the Bible says that He has given us the light of the knowledge, that is the revealing of God. Sometimes people talk about the book of Revelation, and quite often people ask me, "Well, what do you think about the Revelation or the book of Revelation?" A gentleman asked me that the other night, and I said, "Well, what do you think about the book of Revelation?" I didn't know where he was going with that. But did you know that the Bible, beginning in Genesis, all the way through Revelation, that was penned by John, is a book of revelation? Genesis reveals the creativity of God and how the world began and how we came into this world. For God said in Genesis chapter 1, "Let us make man in our image, after our own likeness." And so when we think about it, the entire Bible is a book of revelation. I want you to listen to these words again, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, because this particular translation renders it just a little bit different. Listen to what he says, "For God said, let light shine out of darkness. He made His light to shine in our hearts and to give us light, the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Jesus said one time, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." The Holy Spirit, and we were talking about this in great detail this morning in our auditorium class this morning at 9:30, but the Holy Spirit and the Word, they are the revealers, if you will, of the mind of the eternal Father who is in heaven. Now, what does all of this mean for today? Well, you can trust what the Bible says because it is the Word of God. In John 17:17, He says, "To sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth." If it were not so, He says in chapter 14, verse 2 of John, "I would have told you." All you need from God to guide you in this world to heaven is contained in the New Testament. In the New Testament. Now I'm going to tell you something. The Old Testament's a great book, and it's a wonderful book, and I think people ought to have a working knowledge of the Old Testament. But the book that perhaps we ought to focus on more than anything else is the New Testament, because it tells us how to get to heaven. And that's why the Bible urges us to do so. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 through 29, really verses 25 through 26 here says, "Of which I became the minister according to the stewardship," Paul says, "from God that was given for me to you to make the word of God fully known, and the mystery hidden for ages and the generations, but now revealed to his saints." Aren't you glad tonight that God has revealed Himself unto us? I am. Proverbs 6 and verse 23 again speaks of God's lamp being a reading lamp, if you will. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs of discipline are the way of life." Saul of Tarsus saw a revelation, and you could call it this, a revelation of reality on the Damascus Road. And what God did, God removed his blindness. You remember Paul was blinded by that great light in Acts chapter 9. And the Bible says that God eventually removed that light, and God began to use this man who was a persecutor of the church as he revealed unto him God's mission for this man. And he became the greatest evangelist the world has ever known because he saw a revelation of God. You remember in the Old Testament how God's servant said, "For you are my lamp, O Lord, and you, O Lord, illuminate my darkness." Jesus said in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. And whoever, notice this, and I circle the word follows because that is the key to it. And Jesus spoke and said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That is the eternal flame of God. Now, not only is the Bible, or the eternal flame of God, a revealing lamp, but it is a heating lamp. How many of you have a heating lamp? Anybody have a heating lamp? Sometimes you like to get close to that heat lamp at night. Well, it warms cold hearts. It does, doesn't it? You know, when we are in the throes of depression or anxiety, and we are cold and we are lonely, we know there's one thing that warms us, and that is the Word of God. A heating lamp warms our bodies. But the heating lamp, and that is the eternal flame of God, will warm cold hearts. That is through the Holy Scriptures. You know, when you're in distress and when you're in anguish, there is nothing. You know, I've had people ask me sometimes, and they have been in the hospital maybe critically ill, maybe at the point of death, or maybe not quite there. They would ask me, would you please read the Scripture to me? And after reading the Scripture to them, they would tell me, I feel so much better just hearing the Word of God, the reassurance. It was like a lamp to a cold heart. It's amazing to me how cold our hearts can become at times. And they do. You know, we talk about people taking the life of another in cold blood, cold-hearted people. We know people like that. You do too. But isn't it interesting how God can change a cold heart and melt that cold heart with the warmth of His own and the warmth of God's love? Romans 6, Paul says, verse 17 and 18, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. Notice this. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Paul's saying you had a cold heart at one time. Your heart was so cold, nothing could touch it but the Word of God. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Then being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Do you know that you had a cold heart at one time? And the thing that touched your heart was the Word of God. It was. We were all in sin at one time. And the reason we hadn't become Christians is because we were in sin and our heart was cold. But the Word of God eventually penetrated the hearts of those of us who are children of God tonight and melted our heart, and we became the servants of righteousness. Solomon wrote these words many years ago in that book of Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all, listen to this, all the inner parts of his being. I have observed and have come to believe that no matter what you go through in this life, that God will forever be by your side. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But the lamp of God, that eternal flame, is like a miner's lamp. You ever seen a miner's lamp? I kind of tried to get the artist's conception here the best that I could get. If you've ever seen miners go down, they have that little thing on the head here mounted, and they go down into that cave. And you've ever been in a cave, and we've been in some of those where the darkness was tremendously dark. I mean, it was like out of darkness. But anyway, that miner's lamp became suitable for the deepest pit in life. You remember the story of Joseph and how he was eventually thrown into a pit? It was a deep, dark pit. His brothers were enraged by the favor that his father had shown their younger brother. And they decided to get rid of him. They threw him in a pit. And eventually, we know that there was a group of Ishmaelites who had come by, and they sold him for 20 pieces of silver, and then he eventually is down in the land of Egypt. But the point being that he was in a deep, dark pit. But you remember the story of Joseph and how from the pit he went to the palace. He became second in command down in Egypt. It was like David would write in the book of Psalms 40, verse 1 and 2. He talked about his own pit, and he talked about the light of God. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned his ear unto me. He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit, the slimy pit, he says, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. If you read on, he says, he put a new song in my heart. The light in reality shined in darkness, and David was able to overcome. Listen to what he says. He lifted me out of the pit of despair. How many of you have ever been in a pit of despair? You know, we find ourselves in pits all the time. It may be a pit of anger, bitterness. Oh, that's a big one. A lot of people have a lot of bitterness in today's world toward someone. And we find ourselves in the pit of bitterness, the pit of anger, the pit of anxiety, the pit of depression, the pit of sin. And only God can lift us out. And only Jesus can do that through the light of his word, the eternal flame. For he says, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. John 8 and verse 12. I want you to notice what Jesus said in that text. He didn't say he's just a light to the church. Sometimes we think that in our mind, I think. But Jesus is a light to the world, to the whole world. Like that miner down in that cave, the Bible becomes the light to those of us who are in pits as well. But fourthly, the light of Jesus is like a night lamp that shines in the darkness. How many of you have night lamps? How many of you keep a light on in your house? I keep a light on in my house because I know I'm going to be up a couple of times during the night. I don't know about y'all. Y'all, I don't know what you're laughing about. All of you do the same thing. Now, but we keep the light on, the night light. It's burning. And Jesus says, I am come a light in the world, and whoever believeth on me, John 12 and 46, he says, should not abide in darkness. You shouldn't abide in darkness. I am the light of the world. Again, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I like the words of Isaiah 9 and verse 2 that was somewhat prophetic of the light, this eternal flame, the New Testament that was to come into the world. He said, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. I like that song we were singing a moment ago, Dwight. Give me the Bible, because it says, hold up your lamp by the open grave. You know, there is no place where we want greater hope and the light to shine than we stand by the open grave of a loved one who will be incarcerated therein. The light shines the brightest in the darkest places. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes you really can't appreciate the light until it's really dark. But in the darkness of that moment, the eternal flame of God is shining brightly. Job 29 and 3, Job said, when his lamp shone over my head, by his light I walked through darkness. God's word is like a night light. It does. It is, isn't it? It is a lamp in the darkness. John 1 and verse 5 says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it, did not comprehend it. Psalms 18:29, for you light my lamp. The Lord my God illuminates my darkness. I like Psalms 27 and verse 1. It's one that I often read at memorial services for people who have died, because it gives great hope and comfort to people that are left behind. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? But if we walk in the light, John writes, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all of our sin. But his light is also a safety lamp. You know, a safety lamp is so important, and it never, ever leads astray. It doesn't. It's kind of like that flashlight, I guess you could say. Proverbs 13 and verse 9, the light of righteousness rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will go out. It does. You and I, every day, are on a sea. We call it the sea of life. And a lot of other people are out there on that sea of life. And they're waiting for that beacon. They are. They're waiting to be able to see that light so they don't drift away in sin. Your word is a lamp to my feet. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I am so thankful for the lamp of God, for his light. And we should let the eternal lamp or fire of God's word burn in our lives that others may find the way. In Matthew 5:15, Jesus said that as Christians, that, hey, you don't take your light and put it under a bushel, but you put it on a nightstand that it gives light to all that are in their house. And that's so important, isn't it? And that's analogous not only of lighting your light family-wise, but lighting the world around you. But you can't be a beacon if your light don't shine. We would still be groping in darkness had it not been for the eternal flame of God that burns tonight. Isn't it wonderful to know that this word is still just as powerful tonight as it ever has been? It is. I'm thankful that it is something that leads our way. It guides us. It gives us direction. And when we're really confronted with issues in our life every day and we don't know where to turn, there is one book to where we do turn and we find the answers, and that's in this book. It's one upon where I have placed my faith, and my faith grows stronger every day. You know why? Because I read it. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. You want to increase your faith? You want to strengthen your faith in God? Open the book and let God's word shine upon your hearts. If you're not a Christian tonight, God has revealed his word for us, as I said this morning, and it's still true that we can become children of God by obeying his words that are in this book, by believing with all of our heart in the risen Lord to be the Son of God, and through a penitent heart, be willing to acknowledge that through the mouth of confession, and then through the act of baptism for the remission of sins. And then we're raised out of that water to really be a light to the world around us. And if you're a Christian tonight, and you've done that, obviously, but if your light isn't shining, then your life is of no value to anyone, not even to yourself, and certainly not to God or others around you. Be a light. Be a light, like the Word of God. And let your spirit be seen eternally, here and in the presence of God. Now, Dwight has selected a song that we're going to sing here momentarily, and if you're here tonight and we can assist you in any way in either becoming a Christian or going to our God in prayer on your behalf, then certainly we stand ready and willing to do that tonight. This whole congregation of believers are ready to pray on your behalf while we stand and while we sing.